You are listening to BensTorah.com.
I want to deal with certain dimensions of the concept of tshuva. The Rav Satzal, my Rebbe, used to love to deal with this topic. And, he always found chidushim, what chidushim. Tonight I want to share with you some other perspectives besides what he usually said. Bring it all together and start off with the following question. The concept of tshuva, we know, is a mitzvah that was given to the world from the beginning of Briyas Olam. We know that when Hashem created the world, He decided that mankind would have the ability to do tshuva. That was one of the prerequisites of the things Hashem created. And in fact, Chazal tell us that when you had the sin, quite obviously, of Adam and Chava take place, he gave them the ability to do tshuva in order to survive and to go forward with their life. When later on Cain sinned in the type of carbon that he brought to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so in the Chumash it says, Halom Seitiv Seis, Vimlo Seitiv Lepesach Atis Rovetz, Elech Teshukasov Ato Tim Shlobo. So the Targum says that Cain, why are you so depressed? If you're basically going to speaking, Im Tasuv, if you do tshuva, Yishtavich Lach, I'll forgive you for what you did. So tshuva as a concept applied from the beginning of Briyas Olam, not only to the Jewish world, but even to the non-Jewish world that were created initially when it comes to Briyas Olam, as a given principle. That's number one. Number two, tshuva is a concept that really applies kol hashana kula. The fact of the matter is, it's not a mitzvah seh shazman grama. It doesn't have to bedafka take place during this specific time of the year. And in fact, the Rambam on the first page of the Maror Mekomos that are in front of you says this very explicitly in quotation C on the left-hand side. But the Rambam says, afa pisha tshuva v'hatzaka yofel olam. Even though quite obviously doing tshuva is something that you can do forever all year round, nevertheless, the Rambam says, "Basari hayomim shebein Rosh Hashanah yom kippurim u'yofa b'yoser," that there's a special benefit in doing the tshuva during these 10 days, starting with Rosh Hashanah, ending with Yom Kippurim. Iskabelus imiyad shenem adiyush Hashem behimotzei. So we therefore see that quite obviously there's something special about the Aseres Yemei Tshuva when it comes to doing tshuva. Furthermore, the Rambam says in Halacha Zayin, in the same exact quotation, that Yom HaKippurim Huzman Tshuva L'chol Yochid V'Rabim Huketz B'chila V'slich L'Yisrael, that Yom Kippur seems to be a time of total finality and completion when it comes to Mechil V'Slich as it relates to the concept of tshuva. Therefore, Chayavin HaKol Asas Tshuva, everybody therefore has to be Meshtavda Yom Kippurim to get involved in tshuva. They have to be Mezvadi Yom HaKippurim. And to show you how integral the Mitzvah Vidui is to the Mitzvah Tshuva, he points out that we even do a Vidui of tshuva Erev Yom Kippur, Sheyaskom Erev Hayom. From the Zman of Mincha on, we start already entering Yom Kippur in the mood of Vidui and Tshuva, the Al-Chetzu Kedoyme, as a way of getting into the theme of the day. But even after you read the Rambam, you still say to yourself, but what is the specialness? What is the uniqueness between the Aseres Yemei Tshuva? And why is Yom Kippur looked upon as the Zman of total finality? And especially if Tshuva is something that applies Kol HaShana Kula, and it applies to Jews and non-Jew alike, and really the non-Jews don't have as the Sheva Mitzvahs and Elah, but the observance of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim, you know, we were learning the Sugya down Daf Yomi, nobody says that they're Chayiv in Yom Kippur, nobody says they're Chayiv Rabbi Yisai, when it comes to the concept of Rosh Hashanah, even though ironically, I always tell my Gayusha friends and colleagues, you guys think that Rosh Hashanah is a holiday of judgment for Jews, you're making a mistake. The whole world is judged. It's a Yom Tov, it's a day of prayer, that when I'm praying in synagogue, I'm not just praying for myself, I told them. I'm not just praying for the Jewish people. I'm praying for each and every one of you. And the Mishnah on top of the page, Rabbi Yisai, on page number one, quotation B, the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah says this explicitly. Barash Hashanah kol ba'olam ovim lefanav kebenei maram, shenema hayot ziyachel libam, hameven is kol ma'aseihem. So it says explicitly that every member of mankind is being judged on Rosh Hashanah. It's an international Yom Tov for everybody, Jew and non-Jew alike. Many of them never even heard that before. So I said to them, don't worry, I'll have you among as well. So even if you're not coming to the synagogue, it's going to be a universal prayer for the world at large. And today, Rabbi said, we need a lot of universal prayers. We have a lot of crazy actors out there that really we need Hashem to watch us from. So in any event, we therefore see that tshuva itself, Rabbi Yisai, is a major integral part of spirituality and preservation of spirituality, whether you're a Jew or non-Jew. And in fact, the fact of the matter is, the mitzvah, tshuva, shuva, etc. And the reason we call next Shabbos, Shabbos tshuva, is we happen to read the Pasuk in Hosea quoted on the bottom of the page, Shuv Yisrael Hashem Elokecha Ki Chashalta Bavanecha Kechu Mechem Devarim Shuvu LaHashem. So since we read this parsha of Haftarah on that specific Shabbos, we therefore call it Shabbos Shuva, the Shabbos which Shuva is emphasized, and this Haftarah emphasizes the importance of Tshuva is part of the Kriyas Haftarah of that specific day. Now, I want to mention some other factors, and then I'm going to get into the real nitty-gritty of tonight's shiur. When it comes to doing tshuva, I would say if you look at all the sfarim that have been written on the topic, the biggest sefer probably on the topic is the Shari Tshuva written by Rabbi Yair. He probably is the most lengthy when it comes to being marach on the topic. The Rambam only has 10 chapters upon it, but nevertheless, he also was marach on this topic. All of the monei ha-mitzvahs who make tshuva one of the tayyat mitzvahs mention that in actuality there are four parts of tshuva. And what does that mean? That the first thing you have to do is you have to be makir b'chet, hakar b'chet. You have to recognize that you sinned. Some people never ever think they ever sinned. If you don't have hakar b'chet, you're not going to do tshuva. What are you doing tshuva about? So you have to have, first of all, hakar b'chet. That's number one. Number two, Chazal tells that besides having Hakara Sechet, you have to show that you have a desire to be Oizev Sechet, to forsake the Sechet in the future. It's called the concept of Aziva Sechet. You have to have Charasha Al Ha'avar, show remorse and show pain and anguish in the fact that you had this spiritual demise happening to you by doing these acts of sin that unfortunately contaminated you spiritually and brought you down. So you have to have charata al ha'avar. And finally, the last thing that they bring down is you have to have kabbalah al ha'aseh, the kabbalah that I'm not going to sin in the future. These are the four elements mentioned by all gedolim who deal with the topic of tshuva. These mental mechanisms of Hakara Sachet, Aziva Sachet, Charata La'ava, Kabbalah Asit are prerequisites when it comes to being Mekayim the Tshuva. Besides the Machshava Mitanim and the articulation, especially for the Rambam Bibachutz, by saying the Vidui as a representation of the feelings you have inside, outside, and the manifestation of Tshuva. What I want to tonight explain is why is it that tshuva of the Aseret Simei Tshuva seems to be more effective, seems to be thematically more in tune with what tshuva is supposed to accomplish. And I believe that the answer to this question of why the Aseret Simei Tshuva are so special is because, as the Rambam says, it starts with Rosh Hashanah and it ends up with Yom Kippur. There's something special about Rosh Hashanah that sets the tone for Aseret Simei Tshuva, because Aseret Simei Tshuva that allows this to be a time that is motzi, a time that is ripe, a time that is good. If you have to do tshuva, this is the time frame during which tshuva will perhaps potentially be able to be accomplished on the highest level. Now, what's so special about Rosh Hashanah? The only thing we do on Rosh Hashanah that I know that's different is we have a very long musaf and we blow shofar. So why is it that Rosh Hashanah is such a unique phenomenon? What's great, what's so powerful about Rosh Hashanah? I believe the answer to this question goes back to our analysis that we had a couple of weeks ago to the Aseres HaDibros, and in particular to the first two Dibros that we were analyzing, the mitzvah Anocha Hashem Elokecha and the mitzvah Lo Saaseh of Lo Yelecha Elohim Acherim Apanai, that the fact that the Aseres HaDibros started with that, and especially Anocha Hashem Elokecha, was really defining for us not only what the Aseres HaDibros is all about, what Bechlal all mitzvahs are about, and Bechlal what Torah is about, and Bechlal what the relationship between Klaus and the Rabbanu Hashem is supposed to be able to achieve in our observance of Torah and mitzvahs, and what we're supposed to accomplish spiritually in this world. And let me explain to you what I mean by this, going back to our Ramban that I learned with you one of the Thursday nights in the weeks that preceded the summer vacation. The Ramban points out something interesting. He says what is fascinating to him, and the kasha that all the Rishonim dealt with in his historical period of time, and the hundreds of years before him, Khuzari and the Ibn Ezra discussed this. He discusses it. If I'm coming to Maamid Har Sinai, the Rabban Shem Bechvodo Biyatzma, and I'm going to bring Moshe and Klal Yisrael there, and I'm going to bring everybody up momentarily to the par of understanding and hearing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the Ramban claims, with total clarity of understanding and comprehension. Even Klais were given the Dargah Moshe's Nevuah momentarily to be able to impact upon them with Kabbalah Satara and Aseres HaDibros. If that's the case, Anoch Hashem Elokecha Shehoseisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim B'beis Avadim seems to be a downer when it comes to what Hashem could have introduced himself with. He could have said, Anoch Hashem Elokecha, Shebarasi Shemayim V'aretz. Creating a world, Yesh Miayin, is a much more difficult task, Rabbi Sai, than the process of emancipating a nation. We have in world history a lot of countries that have emancipated. I mean, look what happened in World War II, how many people were killed in the emancipation, but ultimately, people were free from the concentration camps by other people coming along and causing that freedom by making a major World War II. So emancipation of people who are slaves, people who could obviously are being held against their will, is something that has happened in world history on a human level. The Rabban Hashem, like, quite obviously, when it comes to introducing himself, according to these Rishonim, should really have mentioned something that no human being has ever or will ever be able to do, and that is creating Yesh Miayin, creation ex nihilo, making from nothing that exists, no atoms, no molecules, no nothing, and all of a sudden having energy and then matter come into existence. That's unique and distinctive to the Rabban Hashem. That's a greater activity. So why, in fact, did the Rabban Hashem not start the Torah that way? That's the million-dollar question everybody asks. And the fact is, the Ramban, as well as other Rishonim, and later Achronim, give a very, very potent answer, which will allow me to get into the topic very quickly tonight. They point out that the concept of Yetzias Mitzrayim, or what happened during Yetzias Mitzrayim, all the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim, pre, during, post, etc., etc., had one major purpose. And that is, the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim was to give to the world at large, and to give to Klausel in particular, what I would call a classical understanding of Yedias Elokim, Hakaris Elokis, a recognition that God exists, and these are the powers that the Rabban Hashem possesses. You had millions and millions of people, men, women, and children, witnessing the Isos and the Mosim and the flaws that took place. And as Chazal point out, the three major Yesodos that emanate from the Makos of Mitzrayim, and that was Makos of the Yam, and the miracles of the Midbar with the Ber Mayim, and then Ani Akavit, and the concept of Rabbi Yisai of the Bamin HaShemayim, all of them represent the following. Number one, there is a unique God on the face of this earth, who is the God of the universe, Hakaris Elokis, the God of the Jews that exists and is unique and distinct and has powers no other deity has. When Paro initially said, who is God? And finally his people said to him that this phenomenon, these makas, is an etzva lokimi, that this is a God we cannot duplicate his divine powers with all the powers we have of our divine gods we worship. He's unique and distinct. So Hakaris Elokis was one major purpose of the makas, the distinctiveness and uniqueness of the divine essence of Hashem. Number two, the concept of Hashgacha Pratis, God's divine providence, watching and supervising and caring for what takes place in this world. There is a philosophical concept in the world of theology of people who are called deists, and they believe in a theology called deism. They also believe in a God of a creator of the universe, but in their mind, once God created the universe and put the whole system into existence, he forsook, let it go on automatic, no longer evolve, no longer concerned with what happens down here. And that's called the philosophy, the religious belief of deism, and its adherents are deists. What the concept of the Makos, of Mitzrayim, and everything else demonstrated is that that's not the God of the world, the God of creation, and the God of the Jews. Our God is very, very intricately involved and concerned through his Hashgacha Pratis, his divine providence, of everything that we do, from the time we get up in the morning to the time we go to sleep. Chazal said it very succinctly in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Dam alamala mimcha, ayin roya, izin shemas, v'cho ma'asech v'sef v'nechtavim. Realize God sees everything, God hears everything. It's recorded in his own divine recorder in Shemayim. Everything's recorded on divine video, not just on audio. On divine video, Chazal say, Seif Dava Kol Nishma, there's a perish on that, which the Chasam Sofer quotes, that when a person goes off a judgment in Shemayim, that the Rebbe Nishma plays in front of the person a divine video of this is your life, and they go through each and every segment saying to the person in the Bezdin Shlomayla, so this is what we have as the divine video of that period. Why did you do X, Y, and Z? So that's, he says on the last pasuk, Sof Davar Kol Nishma, if at the end the Rebbe Nishma has a divine video on everything we do in our lifetime, because that's Hashgacha Pratis, I advise you, Shlomo says, if that's the case, I said, okay, you're a mitzvah shemar, you better be a yara shemayim and do mitzvahs, because you don't want to have that divine video played at the end of your life to have to answer all the things that you did. So Hashgacha Pratis, divine providence, and therefore knowing exactly what we do each and every day, is a main belief that we were able to understand and comprehend by seeing the concept of Rabbi Yisai of Yisias Mitzrayim, especially the Hashgacha Pratis. You can have a Jewish animal and an Egyptian animal standing in the same field, and the Jewish animal will be saved from pestilence, and the Egyptian animal will be killed. You can have Jews and Egyptians in the same house on the night of the 15th, and Bedavka, the Egyptians brought Jewish people, Jewish Bechorim, into the house, hoping that if there are Jewish Bechorim there, they'll be safe from Makas Bechoros. But it didn't help. The fact of the matter is, the Bechoros of Mitzrayim and the other guy in there died, and the Bechorim of Klai Yisrael were saved. That's Hashgacha Pratis, that's divine providence, that's knowing exactly what's taking place down below. So that's another major Yisod Rabbi Yisrael when it comes to the concept of Yitzias Mitzrayim. And finally, the last major Yisod Rabbi Yisai is the concept of divine accountability, Schar V'Onesh. The Ribbono Shel is omnipotent. If he wants to give you Schar, nothing's going to stop Hashem from giving you Schar. If he wants to basically punish you and therefore give you Onshin, whether you're a single individual or whether you are a nation, or the most powerful empire on the face of this earth, if Hashem decides you shall deserve to be punished and to be destroyed and eliminated from the face of this earth, nothing that you can do can stop the Ribbono Shel Olam's machshavos. He's omnipotent, the Yecheilos Hashem. This is also something we saw Rabbi Yisai when it came to Yitzias Mitzrayim, when it comes to the qualities of our Ribbono Shel Olam. So if that's the case, Yitzias Mitzrayim really was a theological experience and a teaching lesson for the Jews and for the world at large who the Ribbono Shel Olam is. When you know of the uniqueness of God, the Metzias Hashem, and the omniscience, the Yedias Hashem, the Hashgacha Pratis, and the concept of Yechel Hashem, Hashem's omnipotence, when you think of all of that, you start to have a pachad, a fear, realizing that we are going to be held accountable, and there's a God that we're accountable to that has demonstrated that through the Yetzias Mitzrayim, and through the events of world history after that, he has demonstrated that as well, by all the wicked empires ultimately reaching destruction and total annihilation. And the fact that Klal Yisrael is still functioning, walking the face of this earth despite everybody trying to destroy them, all of this manifests the power of Hashem in His supervision of world history, of Jewish history, of His supervision of the world at large. This is tremendous yisodos, which people witnessed, people experienced, and therefore Hashem introduced Himself at Har Sinai with something that people saw, people witnessed, people experienced. Bria Sa'olam, even Adam v'Chava did see it. They were created on day six. So they never saw the Bria from its inception until they came on the ground on day six. By the time they came around, everything was there. So even Adam v'Chava were not really Adam Nemanim experiencing creation Yesh Mi'ayim. Hashem told them it happened. He gave him a Sefer Yetzirah to describe what he did. But they were not; it wasn't that experiential for them, as Yetzias Mitzrayim was for millions of people later on. So that's where Hashem introduced Himself to us in that specific type of definition. Now, why is this significant? Because once you say that Hashem's introduction and definition of who He is and what He is defined by these phenomena, that's why the Ramban says in the beginning of his parish to the Aseret Dibros, these phenomena, these yesodas I just mentioned, are part of one of the biggest mitzvahs we have to do each and every day, and that is Kabbalas O Malchus Shamayim. That all of the things I just mentioned now, when it comes to the things we saw when it came to Yetzias Mitzrayim, all these God qualities are subsumed under the mitzvah that applies to everybody. Kabbalas O Malchus Shamayim. Every man and woman has to do that every day. It's not a mitzvah, it's a man grama. We happen to mekayim that technically by saying the Shema Yisrael, and we're a mechavim when we say the first pasuk. Besides being mekayim the mitzvah say of Kriya Shema, we're also mekayim the mitzvah say of Kabbalas O Malchus Shamayim. Now, why is this important? Because if we go now to Rosh Hashanah and we analyze what we do on Rosh Hashanah, we will see that the essence of Rosh Hashanah, Rabbi Yisai, is once again a formal Kabbalas O Malchus Shamayim. Now the proofs to this are the following, and the similarity to Yetzias Mitzrayim are the following. Number one, the change of Nusach that we basically implement when it comes to all the Shemon Esrei's of Aseres Yemei Tshuva, not only on Rosh Hashanah, but through the entire time frame up until including Yom Kippur, is we call Hashem HaMelech. HaMelech HaKadosh, not HaKel HaKadosh. If you say HaKel rather than HaMelech during the Shemon Esrei, Yishavu Batol, Medaf Iberchaz, and you have to basically say it over again, because Malchus is the concept of the Ribbono Shel Olam that is accentuated during these 10 days. Now, and that's why, quite obviously, when the Chazan starts davening Shachris, HaMelech, he starts it with HaMelech. That is why, Rabbi Yisai, when it comes to the Nusach HaTfilah, you find Malchus and Malchus and Malchus reiterated in different themes over and over again. But the most pragmatic and the most demonstrative of this concept of Kabbalas O'Malchus Shamayim is the way Chazal, the Anshei Knesset Gedola, set up the Nusach HaTfilah when it comes to Musaf that we recite on Rosh Hashanah. They added in Rabbi Yisai three major sections, the Malchios, the Zichronos, and the Shofros. It's the longest Shemon Esrei of Musaf we daven Kol HaShana Kula. And added on to that, they incorporated the mitzvah seh of tekiyas ha-shofar. So we don't just blow the shofar Rabbeisai before the Shemoneh Esrei of Musaf. We blow it with Rabbeisai during, if you're an Ashkenazi, during Chazaras HaShatz. And if you're a Nusach Sfard guy, you blow it during the Shemoneh Esrei, that's the Shtila Shemoneh Esrei. And you blow it again with the Shemoneh Esrei, that basically is the Chazaras HaShatz. But we see that these things were added in when it comes to Rosh Hashanah. What is so important with these phenomena?
You are listening to Ben Shomer.
Hirsch points out very beautifully that if you look especially at the Nusach of the Musaf, the Nusach of the Musaf, Malchias, Zichronis v'Shofros, are really continuations of the themes of Yetzias Mitzrayim that Klal Yisrael and the world experienced thousands of years earlier. What do I mean by that? Malchios is Hakaris Elokis, which, as I mentioned before, the concept of Hashem being the king, being accountable to that king, etc., etc., and that God exists, and he is the only God on that level of that divine power. So the Malchus Brachos we recite in the actual Shemoneh Esrei correspond to the Malchus of Hashem, Hashem's existence, not just as a divine entity, but the king. He's the Elokei Elokim. He is the ultimate divine Melech and divine force that exists in this world. The Zichronos of the Musaf correlate Rabbi Sai. Their reference is what? The reference of Hashgacha Pratis. Zichronos. Hashem knows what's going on. He remembers what's going on. He records what has taken place. So Hashgacha Pratis is therefore represented by the concept of the Zichronos. When it comes to the Shofros, so the Pasuk we all know over here that everybody always quotes, that is the Pasuk. Ha'yitokas Shofar b'yev ha'am lo yechrodu. Shofar represents war, a threat of annihilation, whether divine annihilation or human annihilation. People are full of pocket fear because they realize there's an accountability, there's a din v'cheshbon you're going to basically be confronting very shortly. That corresponds to the omnipotence of the Rabbanu Shalom that's represented in the Schav Yonish, that the Chaylas Hashem we saw at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Shofros represent that power of God. And therefore, if that's the case, to really bring it home and bring it to light, what do we do to really give people the feeling that they should be full of dread? We blow the Shofar by the Musaf, because the sound of the shofar, the shrillness of the sound, with the tekiyos and the truos and the shvarim, etc., arouse fear and trepidation, arouse pachet. And if a person has yiras lakim and fear of God, and all that God basically represents, and realize that God sees everything and knows everything and records everything, and you're going to be held accountable for it. If anything was ever going to raise a person to a fear of God, that I better do tshuva, or else I am finished, this procedure of Tfilas Musaf and the shofar are an incredible stimulant to get people to start doing a cheshbon nefesh. Did I act properly this past year? Did I do chatan? Was the hakaras? Did I really live a spiritual life? And if I realize I did have spiritual failings, hakaras achet, I better be oizev dechet quickly before Hashem takes nekama. I have to basically do charata to show that I really want to change my lifestyle. Kabbalah ala asid. Otherwise, you are going to be hit with a divine punishment. You're being judged when it comes to your life now, your momentary life. You're being judged when it comes to your life in the ultimate eternal life. So if that's the case, the motif of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim, which starts off the Aseres Yemei Teshuva, is a tremendous stimulant when it comes to giving people the impetus to do sincere tshuva. The whole year round, when you don't have these themes hitting you between the eyeballs, and these themes confronting you continuously, you might do a tshuva, but it might be a little mediocre, because you're not really being given the threat and fear that you get when it comes to what the themes and the ideas and the concepts that are accentuated in the Rosh Hashanah Tfilos, B'Shachris and B'Musaf and the Piyutim and everything else we say during this time frame, including the blowing of the shofar. So if that's the case, if you're going to start in a Aseres Yemei Teshuva, the way you start off, Rabbi Yisai, is with a Rosh Hashanah, and therefore tzedakah, the crying, the tachmunim, the prayer, the sincerity starts to be generated. For 10 days you go, it completes itself on Yom Kippurim, and therefore on Yom Kippur, by that time the spiritual reflection, the last up until the 9 days until this 10th day, you had a chance to really think. The Rambam says, quite obviously speaking, that therefore you are ready, muchen and mezumin, to return to Hashem. And in fact, if you look in the Maamar Mekumis, Rabbi Yisai, and you go specifically to the last page, page number 3, and you come to the major, major phenomenon of Kiyoshok Eferu Hashem, it's called Yom Trua. So the Rambam on Halakha Dalit, on quotation B, on top of the page, left-hand side, really tells the story very, very adequately and very poignantly. The Rambam says, Alpha Pisha Tkiya Shefa Bresha Shani Gzeres HaKasav. At the end of the day, it's a Gzeres HaKasav. The Torah doesn't tell us why we have to blow it. Rem is Yeshbo, but there is contained in this mitzvah a Tama mitzvah that we have to understand. And what is the Tama mitzvah? Kloma Uru Yushena Mishinaschem, Minir Damim Hotyakitz Betir Maschem, Chibsu B'Maasechem V'Chizu B'Tshuva. And therefore, zichru barach. And remember the God you're accountable to. Elashoychem es emes bahavli hazman v'shogem kol shenosam behevul brich shol oyor v'lo yatzel hibitu adav shaseichem heitivu darcheichem aleichem yazel kol echem ikem dach l'hara u'machshavta shalot tova. Lefichach, therefore, Rabbi Yisai, he says, what does Rosh Hashanah with Tekisha do? It brings this awareness to you on such a level that if you didn't think about doing tshuva, this basically starts to give you the awareness you better do it quickly. He says, therefore, to really add on to the power over here, Tzark Adam Shiras Atzamo Kol Hashana Kula Kilo Chetze Zaka Chetze Chayiv V'Kol Olam Chetze Zaka V'Chetze Chayiv Chotef, a person sins, what happens? If you act inappropriately, not only are you causing yourself destruction, you're potentially causing the world destruction. You've caused the world to perhaps be given the schus, the merit it needs in order to survive. Because of realizing how powerful these 10 days are, and how we start them off with Rosh Hashanah, with Yishov and such, which means that's basically the slichas we recite. All of this is to heighten the fear and trepidation of the path of Adin, to arouse us, therefore, to lose the highest level of tshuva possible. These 10 days, starting with the stimulation of Rosh Hashanah, brings us to the crescendo, and that crescendo ultimately is accomplished on Yom HaKippur. So therefore, Rosh Hashanah, Rabbi Yisai, is an integral part of Sesame Chu, because what you accomplish in Rosh Hashanah sets you up in an emotional, psychological, religious level for what you have to do as an avodah the next 10 days, and is completed on Yom Kippur. That's part number one of my presentation tonight. Part number two is, once I've mentioned what tshuva is able to accomplish, so what is it that happens on Yom Kippur when it comes to the tshuva process that seems doesn't happen kol Hashana kula? I mean, I can have a scare tactic that could scare me during the rest of the year. I mean, Rabbi Yisai, you know, just think of, you know, a tremendous storm coming around threatening your life and your existence. You know, we don't know about these things. Or a major war about to take place, kol Hashana kula, that can literally annihilate the world, or somebody literally taking a hydrogen bomb and exploding it with total irrational behavior. There's a lot of stuff that can get us scared. What is so special about Yom Kippur that the Rambam says it's the case, the final kapara, everything takes place? What is Yom Kippur? So over here, our salvation of Chazal was Mechadish HaChidush, which quite obviously speaking is very powerful. And this Chidush is something that's always quoted B'Shmo, but it's a very powerful Chidush. And this is what he says. He points out that when the Rabban Hashem created the world, and he gave mankind mitzvahs, first he gave the Shem Mitzvah B'nei Noach, which we're discussing now in the Gemara. Later on, he gave Klal Yisrael Tayyag mitzvahs. So one of the basic purposes of mitzvahs, if you do them properly, asher kiddushin b'mitzvahs, of mitzvahs sanctify us. They enhance the spiritual essence of what we do in this world. Whatever level you're on when you're doing a mitzvah, it's mekadesh you, elevates you to even to a higher plane. So therefore, mitzvahs are mekadesh, it's mechazik your tzelem elokim, mechazik your neshama, mechazik your spiritual essence that you possess. And therefore, Chazal point out, if you do a mitzvah properly and you mekadesh yourself, what happens if I violate mitzvahs and I do averos? So Chazal say it has the opposite effect. It's a contaminator. It's metamayu. It literally takes the neshama that Hashem gave you and literally causes it metaphysical forms of tumah. Literally, you cause a downgrading of your spirituality, a downgrading of your spiritual essence. So therefore, chatayim Rabbi Yisai are a powerful negative force, the same way mitzvahs are a powerful positive force. Says Rav Soloveitchik the following, that when a person as a human being does tshuva, we have a limit of how far we can go. We can go a certain level, but there's a limit. And that is, in doing tshuva, what I'm actually doing by aziva sachet and hakara sachet, charata la'ava kabbalah asiv, what I'm really doing is in a tshuva samishkal, is literally saying to the Rabbana Shalom, I'm sorry for what I did, please forgive me, don't hold me culpable. And Chazal tell us that enechinami, when a person does the highest level of tshuva you could possibly do, which Chazal called tshuva mi'ava, real, sincere, honest-dika, emes-dika tshuva, it literally eradicates the chet when it comes to one phenomenon. And that is, there's no divine punishment. We call that, in our lashon, kapara. Kapara, Chazal point out, has many roots. You have, for instance, in the Torah, the cover of the Arum was called the Kapores. Why? Because it protected the context of the Aron HaKodesh, the Luchas in the Torah that was contained inside. Says Chazal, that when a person sins against the Rabbanu Shalom, and the Sefer Mesilas Hasharim, Chaim Moshe Litzata says this explicitly, but the Gemara said it before him, that when a person sins, you're rebelling against God. Me'ikah HaDin, if the world was based upon Mishpat and Din, you should be killed on the spot. The reason that doesn't happen is Hashem realized, and Tzadab Ar says Yasata Velo Yechte. So you therefore make sure we have a Midas Harachim as well when it comes to human society, besides Midas Adin. So he gives us a chance to recognize the mistakes we made and to repent, ask God for forgiveness, and to return to our Kaddish Baruch Hu. When Hashem grants us kapara, what he's really doing is saying that the Midas Adin that should have destroyed you is now at this point out of your domain. You now have a divine protection protecting you from any type of onish. You did a tshuva gemura, a full-fledged tshuva mi'ava, where Chazal say the whole sin is totally eradicated, totally eliminated. So therefore, that, according to Chazal, is the powerful mechanism of tshuva mi'ava, that literally the sin disappears as an onish-producing type of activity by doing a tshuva mi'ava on the highest, highest level. So said Rav Soloveitchik, yeah, that's true. That is true. But there's one little problem. Doing tshuva and having kapara and no longer being punished for the chet and eradicating it from your laundry list, so at the end of days, so it's like Nishma, it won't be brought up in your divine video and held against you, you accomplish that. But the problem is, you have sullied and contaminated your neshama by having done the chet. That's a metaphysical concept. Human beings have control over physical reality. if I have very little control over divine metaphysical activity. So how in the world, if I've sinned and big sins, even though I did a tshuva gemura, tshuva me'ava, how in the world am I going to take my poor neshama that's been sullied by chet and weighed down with the chet, how am I going to have the capacity and the chaylis to bring it back to the state of tahara and kedusha that was given to me initially? As a human being, I don't have the ability to deal with that metaphysical reality. So what option do I have? So said Rav Soloveitchik that the purpose of Yom Kippur is to deal with this second phenomenon, metaphysical, spiritual rectification, taking the tumor away from you of the chet and replacing it once again with kedusha. What's his source? So the source he uses, Rabbi Isai, is a pasuk on the bottom of page number 3, where the pasuk says on Yom Kippur, "Ki bayom hazeh yichapa lechem lataras lemechol chatosechem lifnei Hashem titaru." On the day of Yom Kippur, besides what obviously you're doing tshuva, you get in kapara, there's another dimension. I'm going to be able to matar you, to purify you from all of your sins. In front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this tahara will take place. Rabbi Kiva on this specific pasuk said it has a meaning that's very, very powerful. In the Makaris, I want you quickly, Rabbi Yossi, to turn to page number 2 and to see the Maime Chazal of Rabbi Akiva, which elucidates the power of this pasuk referring to Yom Kippur. Now, the Rabbi Kiva I'm referring to, Rabbi Isa, is Rabbi Kiva quotation C on the right-hand side of the page, on page 2. It's the last Mishnah Masechtes Yoma, on Pehayim Abayz. And Omer Rabbi Kiva, remember, was a Baal Tshuva. We know of the Tanayim, he's probably one of the most famous of the Baalei Tshuva. Rabbi Kiva says, Ashrechem Yisrael, Lefnei Miatem Taharim, Umimetareschem. Avicha shebashemayim, shenema v'zarakti aleichem mayim tahorim v'tahartem, v'oim mikve Yisrael Hashem, ma mikve metar esatemayim, af HaKadosh Baruch Hu is metar Yisrael. So Rabbi Kiva says, I want you to know something, that the pasuk I read before about Yom Kippur is, it's not that just Yom Kippur, both Yom Kippur is somehow a mikve tara, when it comes to re-cleansing or purifying Klai Yisrael from the taint and the contamination of sin, but it's the day of the year that the Rabbeinu Hashem said, "Hu bechvodo biatzma," who created our neshama tahor initially and gave it to us. We say it every day, "Lakai neshama shesatzati b'tahira," that the neshama that Hashem gave us, the Rabbeinu Hashem says, "I gave it to you in the state of tahara. You sullied it. You contaminated it. I have an eitzah for you. If you do tshuva and you basically experience the sanctity of Yom Kippur, I will come along and take that neshama, recycle it, repurify it, return it to the state of pristine purity that existed kedem lechet, and Yom Kippur is the day of the year that I designated for that type of divine involvement to give you the tahara you so want. You don't have to worry about punishment. That's the tshuva that you did accomplish. But taras haneshama, one day of the year accomplishes that. That's Yom Kippur based upon Xeris HaKasov. And that's what our Soloveitchik said very beautifully, is why the Rambam says on page 1, going back to quotation C, the Yom Kippur is the day of the final Ketz Mechil V'Slich L'Yisrael. That is the final Makkah B'Patish, the completion. You can't accomplish on Yom Kippur Kol HaShana Kula, the same thing you can accomplish on Yom Kippur. Because on Yom Kippur, the Torah takes place by Hashem Bechvodo Biatzmo, so Rabbi Kiva emphasized, you don't have that Kol HaShana Kula. So therefore, Yom Kippur, quite obviously, is the day that the total shleimus of Yeshuva Me'ava, where you have total kapara, no punishment, and literally the reintroduction of total purity to your body and your spirituality is basically accomplished because of observing Yom Kippur properly, having Hashem involve himself in the process. You don't need Rabbi Yisai Krabanos to accomplish this. The Rambam also emphasizes on page 1 that even though Bizman Azeh, we do not have in quotation D, Halacha Gimel, בזמן הזה, אם בסמידוש קיים, אין לנו מזבח כפרה, we don't have the carbonus that were brought at the time of the בסמידוש, אין שם אלא תשובה, התשובה חפרס על כל עבירוס, אפילו ראש וכל יום עושה תשובה באחרונה, אין מזכירו לו שום דבר מרישו, שנאמה, רישוס הראש אשר לקושו בו ביום שובה מרישו, עצמת יום כיפר אז מחפר, the actual קדושס היום יום כיפר אז מחפר, לשם שנאמה, יום הזה יחפר לכם, he's quoting the crucial puzzle, which means not just כפרה, therefore, even without Karbanos and the actual Avodah taking place, it has the power to accomplish that today when it comes to a real Tshuva Miyava on the highest conceptual, practical level. Now, with this in mind, Rabbi Isai, if that's the case, we therefore see that the uniqueness and the distinctiveness of Tshuva that we're able to obtain, especially when it comes to Asaras and Mei Tshuva, first of all, the Hisoverus of the beginning of the period that's accomplished by Rosh Hashanah, with the shofar, with the nusach hatfilah and everything else, the slichas we recite the next couple of days, our zahiris and mitzvahs and everything else, davening differently, acting differently, and the culmination of this Yom Kippur, these 10 days are able to accomplish something in tshuva that cannot be accomplished kol hashana kula. That's the distinctiveness and uniqueness of this specific period. What is interesting and fascinating to note, Rabbi Isai, is that there's one more thing I want to mention before I finish the shiur tonight, and that is an interesting ha'ara that Rav Soloveitchik had when it comes to two ma'amar chazal that seem to contradict each other. One ma'amar chazal says that why is it that we are so careful, halach l'masa, not to use a shofar made by a para, which means using a para's horn to blow shofar when it comes to Rosh Hashanah. So he says that so when you're blowing with a shofar and the kailos will come out from shofars and they ultimately enter the kailos shakadoshim, we have a principle that ain katega nazis senega, that which was a kitrug, which reminds the devotion of our sins. And there's nothing worse than the sin of the chet of egel azav and everything else of that nature. If we blow a shofar of a parah, reminds us of the egel. It's a katega, ain't katega nasas an egel. And that's why we're very careful when it comes to the type of horn we use, an eil horn, which represents mesiras nefesh, the willingness to give up your life al kiddush Hashem, as Yitzchak was willing to do, and as Avram was willing to perform on the behest of Hashem. So therefore, ain't katega nasa senega. Mitzad sheni, we have another principle, that on the day of Yom Kippurim, the Kohen Gadol himself, in many of the avodas, the outside avodas, bedavka wears his golden begadim. When he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he switches over to the white begadim. And he does this about four or five times when we read the Avodah. He's a busy guy going from this wardrobe to this wardrobe. I mean, he is that alone is an Avodah. Now, the fact of the matter is, Rav Soloveitchik said, why do we have an accentuation of wearing golden begadim outside? He said, because the Medrash says that when you use gold, and we use gold, for instance, in the Binyan HaMishkan as an example, we use gold when it came to making Aron HaKodesh, the halach is katega nasa senega, that which was a kidrug, is now being used as a defense eternity, based upon the concept of Tshuvas HaMishkan. So the Kohen on Yom Kippur, he wears wears gold begadim, and he does things outside, using animals, because some of the animals that are hukrav are parim, in order that the katega becomes a senega, and that is our hashkafas atayra, that you want to use what was used for sin now for mitzvah as a tshuvas hamishkol. So he says, if that's the case, one medrash says ain't katega nasa senega. Another medrash says, on the contrary, we bedafka want katega nasa senega. So which one is it, and what is Hashem's kavana when it comes to the ideal form of returning to Hashem? So says Rav Soloveitchik that in actuality Yom Kippur, the type of beged that is being worn by the Kohen Gadol, depending upon where he is, that we in fact need, elu ve'elu, we need both phenomenon. but each one represents a different darga in the ultimate completion of the tshuva process. The Rabban Hashem wants us, Shuvei Lai v'Shuvei Lech, he wants us to take the initiative. So when Klal Yisrael are trying to do tshuva, as they did by the Egel Hazav, when they built a golden a mishkan and a golden a stuff, so we're taking the initiative and we're mezchuyiv, Shuvei Lai v'Shuvei Lech, and you first return to me, Shuvei Yisrael Hashem Elokeichem, and then I'll return to you. There the halach is the Kateg Nasas Negev, that which I use as a sin object now becomes a mitzvah object. So bedafk we want the Kohen Gadol outside, in the Avedas HaChutz, to wear the golden begadim to show that the tzitz hazav and all the golden begadim are now being used for Avedas Hashem, not rebellion against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Katega becomes a Senega as a positive force of Tshuvas HaMishkan. But when it comes to Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol goes inside the Fanai Lefim a couple of times. He bedafikah changes into the white begadim. Why does he wear the white begadim inside? And why do we say upon that, Ein Katega Nasa Senega? There, over there, on the contrary, we don't want to mention the golden of begadim, or wear them, or even blow with the shofar of a parah, that it should have an impact on the Fanai Lefim. So it says our salvation very beautifully. It's because symbolically, what the Kohen Gadol is saying to the Rabban Hashem, he changes from his golden begadim into the white. His Rabban Hashem, outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is your exclusive domain, in our domain, our human domain, we did whatever we possibly could as a human being to do a complete and total tshuva, tshuvas HaMishkal. And the proof is, every object or material that we use for sin, we sanctify it, mekadesh it for the Beis HaMikdash, for our avodos. Our Kateger became a Sanegar, and whatever we were able to do in Tshuva Me'ava and reach the highest levels of Kapara, we've done our Avod Yom Kippur, and we've demonstrated that outside. But Yom Kippur, you promised to us, is a Yom, then not only are we going to have Kapara, but Hashem says, Lifnei Hashem Titaru, I'm going to Metaru you. That's something, Rabbi Hashem, you told us you're able to do. We as human beings are incapable of doing that. We want pure tahara. We want our neshama to be as white as snow as it was kedem achet. So he b'dafka symbolically walks in with the white beged. Kodesh HaKadoshim says to Rabbi Hashem, we did ours. Now Lifnei Hashem Titaru is yours. We want to have whiteness of our beged representing what our neshama is going to look like after your involvement to experience Yom Kippur. So bedafka in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which represents Hashem's participation in the ultimate makkah bepatish of Yom Kippurim, there bedafka ain't katega nasas anega, because that would seem to imply that we are helpless. For Taras and neshama, we are helpless. We can't accomplish that. We wear white begadim. We don't wear the golden of a garden, because that would be a kitrim, and that would seem to imply even Tara could be accomplished by us as human beings, which is an impossibility. So the whiteness of the beget, and using that in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Hashem's domain says, we're now ready for the second part of Yom Kippur, not the Kapara part, Lifnei Hashem Titaru, the wearing of the beget Lifnim, and Kateg Nasa Senega, shows your participation, Ashreichem Yisrael Mikiva says, and that's where that part of Yom Kippur finds fulfillment in the Kodesh Kadoshim, in the Tahara process. If that's the case, so Salavation said, we therefore need both processes. The human process is the Katega Nasa Senega. The divine process of the day, the Tahara, ain't Katega Nasa Senega. That's out of the human realm. There we need Hashem to do it exclusively. We're going to prepare ourselves to be worthy of it. And that's why I'm coming in white clothing. I've tried to whitewash and to cleanse myself, but you, the Rabban Hashem, have to complete the process, and that's the symbolism of the white beged in the actual Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's why we don't want to use a shofar of a para, because that sound goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which seems to imply our Kateger becomes an eger. We're involved with that, we have capacities, and we do not have those capacities. This is the beauty of the Rav's Torah when it comes to this topic, Rabbi Isai. When you're going to read the Avodas Yom Kippur in the Siddurim, Rabbi Isai, in the Machzi, you'll understand, therefore, he's not just running from his gold to the white and the white to the gold
and just taking baths in between to keep himself refreshed, there's a more deeper symbolism and a more dynamic impact of what he's doing. But at the end of the day, Rabbi Yisai, if you take the heart and take the mind, all the themes of the tefillahs from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, what it represents, what it teaches us, it shows us the dynamic, what Hashem did in creating the world with the concept of tshuva, and the special matana that he gave Klal Yisrael, that you gentlemen are given such a zchus, that on Yom Kippur I'm going to be able to elevate you to such a level that the taras and the shami you were created with, Hashemish and Asabta Heridhi, is going to be returned to you. If you come to me and do all that you've done, I'll do what I have to do. Let's hope and pray Klal Yisrael will be zochu this year of Yom Kippur, Yom Lechapel, if Hashem Titzaru, we shall reach that level of Kedushin Tahara with our Avedis Hashem, and be zeichet through that to Gula, and for Bias Mashiach, Zekeinu, Amen, Amen.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.